Welcome to The Balanced Mind, a podcast dedicated to understanding emotion and achieving emotional maturity. We're going to dive deep into the roots of our feelings and ask a critical question. How can we manage emotion more effectively with greater wisdom? The goal is to help you grow in emotional intelligence, leading to a better quality of life and a more fulfilling relationships in every area of your life, from the workplace to your closest friendships. I'll provide you with a practical toolkit and insight to help you navigate life's challenges with greater emotional maturity and resilience. Hello. My name is Dion Bicycle. As a supportive counselor, I am dedicated to helping you achieve a better quality of life. Welcome to The Balanced Mind. We like to think of ourselves as the architects of our lives, drawing up this grand blueprint of our careers and relationships. But if you look at your life in reality, you know what? Do you realize that your blueprint is based on your everyday choices? Did you know that we make up to 35,000 choices each day? Research of the Cornell University suggests that we make roughly 226 decisions on food alone. That means that if you are awake for 16 hours, that is one decision every 2 seconds, and this is only on food. Most of these are invisible decisions. They are so fast, you make them so fast that they bypass your conscious mind entirely. Let us first look at the autonomy of the nano gap. Now please stay with me. To master your life, you have to master the nano gap in neurology. This is the space between the stimulus and the response. Say for instance, your boss uses a period instead of an explanation point in a text. Your brain perceives it as a threat. Then your system, your primal, fast-acting brain wants to get defensive or anxious. But the turning point is, if you can widen that gap, thinking about what you just saw, you engage the prefrontal cortex. And this is where you move from reacting to deciding. Let me explain. Say you get something from your boss or your manager, and it ends off with an exclamation mark. Suddenly your brain thinks, hey, my manager is very angry at me. I am in trouble. Immediately, I'm anxious because what is he trying to tell me? Am I in trouble? But that is the immediate response. But that 0.5 seconds that I talked about is where you actually take the sentence and you think about what is said. And that is why when we use our prefrontal cortex, we engage in the thought or the sentence. And then we can move from reacting to the decision or reacting on the emotion to deciding, hey, this is in line or this is not in line, or what is this person actually trying to say. In other words, you are thinking of your decision on how you're feeling, how this email is making you feeling. We don't make these choices. We often slide into them. The goal of this episode is to stop you sliding. Because we need to start thinking about our choices. Let us break down the 35,000 choices we are actually making on each day. They fall into three categories that dictate your reality. First, we look at the threshold choices. These happen when you move from an environment to another, entering a home after work, opening your laptop, or sitting down at a restaurant. Most people carry the energy of the last room into the next room. A conscious micro moment here acts as a circuit breaker. In other words, we need to stop and create a new thought, but we need to decide on this new thought, decide on this new meeting area. Then we have attention choices. This is the most expensive currency you have. Every time you choose to look at the notification on your phone, you aren't just looking at the screen. You are choosing to pay a switching cost. It takes the brain an average of 23 minutes to return to deep focus after one micro choice to check the direction or the distraction. So, every time we break our focus and we look on our phone, concentration to return on what we're actually doing takes up to 23 minutes. And that was a micro choice. In other words, we can choose not to look. We can choose to stay focused. Then we have the narrative choices. These are internal. It's the choice of how you describe your day to yourself. I'm swamped versus I'm in demand. These micro labels shape your biology and your stress levels. In other words, the words you like to describe your day to yourself or describe your work influence your viewing of yourself. When you look at a task that you need to do and you realize you can't do it, instead of saying, I can't do this, change the narrative and say, you know what, this is a new challenge for me and I will complete it. So let us look to the shadow compound effect. You've heard of the compound effect, how small habits leads to big results. But let's talk about the shadow compound effect. This is the 1 in 60 rule used in aviation. If a pilot is off, of course, by just 1 degree, of the 60 miles, they will be exactly 1 mile off target. In your life, that is 1 degree of a micro moment. So this is when we choose to hit the snooze and say, but that's not a disaster, I can snooze a bit. But choosing to negotiate with your alarm clock trains your brain that your commitments are negotiable. And I must say I'm guilty here, because I did that. And I realized how my alarm, I didn't focus on my alarm or stick to my decision. And I went off course. You see, over 365 days, you haven't just lost sleep. You've eroded to your self-trust. Very important. And that is the word of a micro moment. It's not about the what. It's about the who. You are becoming while you choose small things like snoozing on an alarm. What is the end things going to look like? Very, very important. We've established that you're making about 35,000 choices a day. But here's the biological truth. Your brain is a high performance engine, and it runs on every specific limited fuel. Every time you choose between two brands of cereal, two different words in an email, or whether to hit send or save, you are burning metaphorical liter of gasoline. By 4 p.m., most of us are running low on fumes. This is decision fatigue. Decision fatigue isn't just feeling tired, no. It's a miserable psychological phenomenon where the quality of your choices deteriorates after a long session of decision making. So let's look at the glucose drain. The prefrontal cortex, that is the CEO part of your brain, we've mentioned, is a resource hog. It consumes more glucose and energy than almost any other part of the brain. Sorry, the body. The famous Perol study is when you understand how real this is. Look at the legal system. A famous study is of over 1,000 parole boards ruling find that prisoners were significantly more likely to be granted parole in the morning or right after the judges had a meal break. By late afternoon, the choice shifted to the safest, easiest default, which is denial. The takeaway from this is that if a trained judge can't make an objective choice when their decision is fatigued, what chance do you have at the grocery store after an 8-hour shift? When your brain runs out of fuels, it stops being a CEO and starts being a toddler. It typically reacts in one of two ways. First, reckless impulsivity. Your filter breaks. This is why you buy the candy bar at the ticket line or snap at your partner. Your brain no longer has the energy to say no to immediate rewards. Secondly, we get decision paralysis or avoidance. This is the Netflix scroll, you know. You have 1,000 options, your brain is so exhausted, so you spend 45 minutes looking at the thumbnails and end up watching nothing. You literally lack the cognitive power to commit to a 20-minute sitcom. Then we look at the ego depletion controversy. Now I want to go deeper into the skeptics out there. In psychology, there's a debate around the ego depletion. The idea that willpower is a finite resource. Some modern studies suggest that if you believe your willpower is unlimited, you actually perform better. But even if willpower is a mindset, cognitive load is a physical reality. Think of a brain like a computer's RAM. Every open tab, and this is every undecided choice, slow down the entire system. So when you're not making a choice, you're prolonging the system. So if you're not making a choice, it slows you down. And we don't want that in today's world. But yet we do it. We think about it like this. Like the tabs on your computer screen. We have a tab for should we go to work later or should we go to work now? What am I wearing tomorrow? And then you leave that tab hanging and hanging and hanging because you can't decide what to do. It's just because it's open doesn't mean we need to decide on it. Yes, you do, but energy is being wasted. Sometimes we also have this thought of, you know, I wonder if I offended someone with my text. And then you wonder, then you lose time, you lose concentration. We need to decide frequently to keep those steps closed so that our mind can continue working and focus on the things we need to do. By the time you need to make a big decision, your system is lagging because of the background processes you haven't closed yet. These are those decisions you thought of, no, I'm not going to make it just yet. And then these decisions are small decisions. And that keeps on lagging our system because they are not made yet. So we've talked about the CEO brain, the prefrontal cortex. And now it's basically like a luxury car that runs out of gas way too fast. But what if I told you that you have a backup generator? A system that doesn't burn glucose at the same rate and has been learning since the day you were born. This is called intuition. Most people think intuition is woo-hoo and mystical. In reality, it is the advanced pattern recognition. Your gut contains over 100 million neurons. It's called the enteric nervous system. It's connected to your brain via the vagus nerve. Vagus nerve. Which is like a high-speed fiber optic cable. While a conscious brain is busy training to calculate the logical choice, your gut is scanning your entire history of experiences. It's looking at the body's language, micro experiences, and historical data points you don't even remember. When you get a bad feeling about a deal or person, that's not a ghost. That's your subconscious running a 10,000-page report and giving you the executive summary in the form of a physical sensation. Now, a word of caution to the listeners. Intuition is only as good as your data. A grandmaster can look at the board for 3 seconds and know the right move. This is in chess. That intuition was born out of 50,000 hours of practice. If you never play chess, your gut is just a guess. This is what psychologists call heuristics. Your brain uses mental shortcuts to make decisions fast. The problem is when we use a shortcut for something that's actually required a more thorough thought. Example, if you're choosing a life partner, gut feeling is a great compass, but you still need the map of logic before you choose your partner. The secret is to use logic, to gather logical facts, and then use intuition to weigh them up. There's a fascinating concept called thin slicing. It's the ability of our subconscious to find patterns in a very small slices of experience. In a famous study, researchers could predict with 90% accuracy whether a couple would be married in 10 years just by watching the first 3 minutes of a video talking. The couple talking. They weren't looking at the words they used. They're looking at the micro moments of contempt or eye rolling. Your brain does this all day long. The thin slice, every email, every handshake, everyday choices. But there is a time when intuition and fatigue clash. Here is the danger zone. When we are decision fatigued, we often mistake fear for intuition. When you're tired, your brain wants the path of least resistance. It might scream, "No, don't do it, but my gut says no." But is that your intuition or is it your lazy brain trying to keep you on the couch because it's too exhausted to try something new? Intuition usually feels like a pull, while fear usually feels like a push. I'm gonna repeat that. That's very important. The test is this. Does your intuition feel like a pull, quiet and steady, or is the fear feeling like a push, loud and frantic? If you want to get a better If you want to keep pace at this, you need to practice interoception. This is the sense of the internal state of your body. When faced with a choice, don't look at your pros and cons list just yet. Close your eyes and do you feel a tightness in your throat or a weight on your chest or a lightness? This is a very important thing to do. Imagine you've already made the decision. You're living in it. How does your stomach feel 15 minutes after you made the choice? You see, that physical feedback is your data pointing to your conscious mind that there's something wrong. Or at least not wrong, but you need to pay attention of what you just decided. Now that we've diagnosed the problem, we know that our brains are thin slicing everything, and we know our mental batteries are drained by lunchtime. Now, how do we actually fight back? How do we make better choices without losing our minds? Well, I've put together a four-part battle plan for our daily decision making. Firstly, we're going to talk about a pre-decide protocol. This is to eliminate the micro decision making. The best way to beat decision fatigue is not to make the decision at all. No, we call this decision outsourcing. You see, there's a reason why Steve Jobs wore a black turtleneck and Mark Zuckerberg wears a grey tee. They aren't fashionably challenged. They are protecting their CEO fuel, their thinking fuel. By choosing their outfit or their breakfast the previous night, they save time and energy when it comes to decision making for something that actually moves you more or need more fuel. Then we have the rule of two. When looking at the menu or a movie list, give yourself a two option limit. Narrow it down to two choices and then make a choice. And if you still can't make a choice, you can flip a coin. You see, when we have too much choices in front of us, we get confused. But when we eliminate all of them and stuck with two, choose either A or B, then it's easier to make a choice. And this saves a lot of time. But yes, why not flip a coin? Not because you put your choice in a coin, but it is a smart tool. Because while that coin is in the air, your intuition usually tells you which side you're rooting for. That's your brain thinning slices, slicing brain, giving you the answer. Many times the coin will land on a choice that you don't really like. Then you know that you want the other one. This is a way you can exercise decision making that won't take a lot of thinking fuel. Then there is Eisenhower Matrix, prioritizing the micro. For the bigger choices, you need a visual tool. We use the Eisenhower Matrix. It forces you to characterize every choice into one of four boxes. First, the urgent and the most important. These are fires you need to put out. Urgent thing. Secondly, scheduling. Not urgent, but important things you need to think about. This is where growth happens. Because it's urgent, say, for your relationships or work. It's urgent to think about it, but you need to schedule time to think about it and not use up all your thinking fuel. Then there are urgent but not important. This is where decision fatigue lives. These are notifications, quick email, or other minor crises. Make a decision, schedule a time when you go to work on them and then leave it for that time. Then you get the goal. Move your big decisions into quadrants before they become quadrant one. In other words, we look at quadrant one. We look at urgent and important things we need to do now. But before our decision making reach that most important point of urgent and important, schedule it and see it as not urgent but important. Don't use excuses and excuses, and it will end up going to the urgent and important plan, and then you might not think of your choices. You will think of what's easiest. Remember, we talked about this. So plan your decision making. If you're gonna take time to decide on an important thing, take time needed to make a decision. Then there is a 10-10-10 rule. This is more the time machine. When you're stuck in a micro moment and emotions are running high, maybe you're about to send a heated email or buy something expensive you don't really need. Apply the 10-10 rule. Ask yourself, how will I feel about this choice in the next 10 minutes? Usually it'll be great, I'm on my way, it's fine. But then ask yourself, how will I feel about this choice in the next 10 months? Usually you will end up, I don't even remember making that choice. And then finally, how will I feel about it in 10 years? This helps your mind putting a time to it, and then your prefrontal cortex are thinking of the choice. You are responsible with the choice because you're thinking about it in time. This forces your brain to zoom out for a moment and react and look at what is needed. In other words, like I said, you are thinking about the decision. Finally, we talked about resolving. This is the term from poker. Just because the decision had a bad outcome doesn't mean it was a bad decision. If you decide to go for a run and it starts raining, was the decision to go running bad? No, the process was right. The variables changed. Stop judging your choices by the luck involved. Judge them by the process you used to make them. And so we've covered a lot of ground today. From the 35,000 micro moments we face daily to the deep science of the lab of thinking. But I know that for many of you, understanding mechanics is only half the battle. If you find yourself struggling with specific triggers or choices, or you feel that your choices are consistently harming your relationships and your peace of mind, a more personalized human approach can be transformative in your life. As a counselor, I am dedicated to enhancing the total well-being of my clients. I don't believe in just managing symptoms. My mission is to use a systems approach to help you achieve true wholeness in your body, mind and spirit. We look at the big picture of your life, focusing on caregiving, personal growth and bio-spiritual wellness. Whether you are navigating physical health challenges or mental hurdles, we will develop a plan together. I'm here to train, guide, and monitor your progress, so these aren't just tips you hear on a podcast, but lasting changes that improve your quality of life. My goal is to help you protect yourself from negative influences, prevent the risk factors that lead to burnout, and educate you on how your everyday lifestyle choice impacts your long-term health. Together, we can build the practical coping skills you need to maintain a truly positive state of well-being. If you're ready to move forward to a more balanced mind, let's start with a conversation today. Please contact me on the Dion Bicycle page on Facebook or phone me directly for an appointment on the number 062-940-1327. As we wrap out today's episode, I want you to leave you with one challenge. Remember that 1 in 60 rule? That 1 degree of error that puts a plane in Mexico instead of LA? Well, tomorrow morning I want you to pick up one micro moment, just one. Maybe it's a moment your alarm goes off, or the moment you open your laptop. For that 1 second, don't use your default decision making. Make a conscious, intentional choice. Because you can win one micro moment, you can win the hour. And if you can win the hour, you can win the day. Thanks for listening to The Balanced Mind. Go out there and make those 35,000 choices count. We'll see you in the next one. I'm Dion Bicycle, and remember, to keep your balance, you must keep moving.